Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Stuart Rosenthal joining me. Stuart, tell us what you've got in this
Good morning,
month's
Eric.
Issue.
Okay, we're talking about some very interesting scientific findings about obesity. Mm. First of all, I think everybody knows the startling statistics that about a third of the U.S. population is obese. About another third is modestly overweight, and only one third is like at a normal or, you know, what you should be at or less. So it's a serious issue. And the question is this just people who can't control what they eat and they just don't have any interest in exercising and they get what they deserve and they have all these illnesses and things that come of it? Or is there some genetic component to it? Well, since 2007, we've known that there is a gene that appears to be related to obesity, but the doctors didn't know what the connection was.
It had
to do with anything.
Okay.
So they've done some new experiments which seem to show that a faulty version of this gene causes the energy from food to be stored as fat rather than burned.
Really?
And that suggests, in terms of cells, they've done human cells in the lab and they've done some tinkering in mice, that suggested we can reverse this process, which would be astounding.
Wow.
And very important for people who are overweight, because the answer would be, well, maybe you aren't exercising enough and maybe you are eating too much. But the truth is, if you and another person who doesn't have this gene problem ate the same thing, you'd still put on a lot more weight than they will, because your body's not burning it, it's putting it into fat for storage.
Right.
So if we can figure out a way to switch that, turn that gene off, which they've been able to do in the Petri dish, that would be incredible and make a big difference for people.
There's a difference in kinds of fat. Yes,
that's okay. Right. That's right. I didn't know this before, but the article explains says it's long been known, although not to me, that there are two kinds of fat. There's brown or beige fatty tissue, which they call good fat, and that actually burns calories. And then there's the more common white fat that stores calories.
Okay.
And the body is constantly making new fat cells, and it's these genes that determine whether the new fat cells are brown or white.
Okay.
So when you have the gene working properly, it makes many of them into brown or beige fatty tissue, which burns itself up, as it should.
Right.
But if you have a faulty version, more of it goes into white fat for storage, which, I mean, we need some of that for long-term survival, but it's way too much of it when you have this faulty gene.
It's very fascinating. This is very new. This is just
right
come out
off
last month, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you want to read more about it, get a copy of the Beacon newspaper. Anything else in this month's issue?
Yeah, we have an interesting story on artificial coloring.
Okay.
You know, that is very, very common in the American diet. Mm-hmm. The seven synthetic colors are the ones that have been approved. Only seven, but all the combinations of them make all the colors we're used to. And we get these vivid reds and oranges and blues and greens and things. They're synthesized, I hate to tell you, from petroleum. So a lot of people are getting queasy about the whole idea, and some people claim that it affects their children and makes them more antsy or has to do with ADHD or whatever. There's all kinds of theories out there.
Right.
So there's more and more movement in having natural dyes from natural products. And you'd think, well, why not? Why not radishes and strawberries and tomatoes and spices and turmeric and using these kinds of things for color? And some of them work beautifully, but some of them just don't. And the problem is that natural dyes are sensitive to heat and acidity.
Right.
So you mix them with, you got to, you know, cook them, or you mix them with things and they lose their color. You see that even just heating up your own vegetables for dinner.
True.
Some people say that naturally colored sprinkles from Whole Foods, as one person quoted in the article, says it tastes like fish. So, I mean, sometimes they have tastes which you don't want to associate with them for what you're using them. Well, they're developing more and more things. There's a lot of development. We talk about it in the story. Spirulina, which is an algae, is now being used to create blues and vivid blues and greens, which we weren't able to do before in a natural kind of way. So
wow.
I don't know if you feel better having your colors from algae than petroleum. I mean, it's all from the ground,
so.
You know.
Yeah, but I'd rather not have it all come from
right. Because petroleum comes from trees originally, right?
I know, but there's something that seems strange about oil, like for petroleum oil, like consuming that. But maybe because I think of petroleum is what makes plastic. But it's not the same. I mean, would you say?
Well, first, they're synthesized. I don't know what that exactly means, but it's not just turning the oil into a color. I'm not sure how it works.
All right, we have an invitation now. We're going to extend an invitation. If one of you listening to the show this morning is a chemist and could actually speak to this question, I'd like to have you on a future show.
That
reach
would be
out
great.
To me. Please contact me at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. And we'll do an interview with you, and Stuart and I will discuss synthetic flavors and synthetic colors and things like that.
That would be great.
All right?
Good. Look forward to that.
The Beacon Newspaper. Get your free copy of The Beacon Newspaper online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. You can also call them toll-free at 1-800-900-9104. But before you go, could you tell us about the expo?
Right. Don't miss our upcoming expos. Sunday, October 18th at Silver Spring Civic Center, and the following Sunday, October 25th at Ballston Mall in Arlington, we have our annual expo. Free health screenings, wonderful speakers, computer training, all kinds of exhibitors with free information and giveaways, entertainment, something for everybody, and lots of fun. We have thousands of people every year at these events, and we hope that you'll join us too.
Sunday. Get your free copy of the Beacon newspaper every Sunday morning. We'll bring you a bit of the Beacon. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
Real quick, I would very much love for any of the runners in our audience or walkers in our audience to participate in the Widow Care 5K. You've heard me chat about Widow Care, which is to reach out and care for widows and widowers in distress. Based off of numerous scriptures in the Talmud and in the New Testament, including James 1:27, that pure religion is to look after widows in distress. I want to encourage you, come on out, show some support for Widow Care, even if you're not a widow or widower. If you know someone who is, our goal is to provide online information to support those who are in need at widowcare.org. We're halfway through developing our new website, which we hope to launch in the beginning of December. I'm very excited about the site. It's going to provide astounding amounts of great information. Plus, we have a volunteer network to support widows and widowers in their distress, and plus connect for widows to connect with one another. So maybe you're a widow, maybe you're a widower that are listening and would like more information. Hey, this is a great way to get involved. Go to widowcare.org to get information. This is a 5K October 17th at 8:30, and it's going to be up in Gaithersburg at 301 Odenthal Avenue. It's actually on the campus at Asbury Methodist Village. Thank you, Asbury, for hosting this for us. We're not affiliated with Asbury. They have just offered to provide the space, a number of volunteers to support Widow Care. For you, if you're interested, again, go to widowcare.org for more information. I recently listed a home that I want to mention. It's in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and it's open today. This afternoon, in fact. Debbie Zeck from my group will be there. She's a lovely lady, and you'll delight by meeting her. I encourage you to go to 3305 Shirley Lane in Chevy Chase, Maryland. And this is, by size of house, a 3,000-square-foot Rambler with a two-car garage for just under $950 in Chevy Chase. Hey, you talk about 3,000 square feet under $950, rancher. It's got a new kitchen with high ceilings, skylights, big deck off the back, lovely cul-de-sac location, 3305 Shirley Lane in the Dunlop Hills area of Chevy Chase. If you've thought about making a transition to one level living, this is a nice opportunity because you can live just on the first floor. You don't have to go down. You can rent the basement out if you wanted to bring some additional income in. It's got a full bath. It's got another bedroom or two, depending on how you configure it. There's so much to like about 3305 Shirley Lane. All of our listings are currently up for sale on our website at ericstewartgroup.com. Go to active listings, and we have listings coming to the market that are not up for sale yet in our coming soon section, including a beautiful single-family home in Seminary Ridge in Alexandria that'll be coming shortly, actually next week. So, and every week we bring new listings to the market. We talk about our properties, and you can have that benefit too if you're thinking about making a sell. Maybe you'd like to quietly list your property before it goes on the open market. Give yourself a chance to see whether the market's good, even without a sign or a lockbox or being in the MLS. This is a good opportunity to take the temperature of the market. If you want more information, in just a moment, when I get back, I'm going to explain the quiet listing to you and what is my overall strategy for selling your home fast and for top dollar. When it comes time to interview a realtor, when you think, I now need to think seriously about selling my home, I want to know when the best time is to sell my property, please give us a call at the Eric Stewart Group. We have a 119-step process for preparing your house, putting it up on the market, getting it under contract, going through escrow, and making sure you're smoothly handled all the way through. You can go to ericstewartgroup.com. You can register there, download any of our free guides on how to get your house ready to sell, how to sell a home fast and for top dollar, how to interview a realtor before you hire one. When I come back in just a second, I'm going to give you those 10 questions. What are the questions you should ask a real estate agent? Because maybe you haven't sold a home in 25 or 30 years. In the advent of the internet And in the technology age that we're a part of, there are many things that your agent should be doing in order to adequately reach the buyer public, adequately. Beyond that, to exceed your expectations, there are a variety of other layers that a good agent can add on top of that. So we'll discuss the quiet listing and how to market your house fast and for top dollar when you bring it to the open market. We're listing homes now, coaching people on how to get ready to sell. In fact, that's, again, maybe you. I'm not ready yet, Eric. I'm going to call you when the time comes, probably March or April or May of next year. I'll be ready. Don't wait till then. Give us a call right now. We'll come out. We'll take a look at your house. We'll tell you what kinds of things to focus on over the next 4 to 5 months and tell you how you can get top dollar. Again, 800-900-9104. Don't forget, remember, ericstewartgroup.com. Right back in just a moment.